This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What happens when a popular rock radio DJ retires, sells everything, and with his wife, takes off in an RV to see America? Ho, ho, ho! It's the Rockin' the RV Life podcast with Jeff and Patty. Join them each week as they share their experiences while giving you advice and tips along the way.
Hi, I'm Jeff Kinsbach.
And I'm Patty.
And I just want to thank everyone for the well wishes. I recently underwent open heart surgery, had a triple bypass operation, and I just want to thank you very much. The outpouring has really been incredible. You know, you can recover quite comfortably in an RV after major surgery. I mean, we had a lot of funny looks from doctors and nurses saying...
We sure did.
You know, does your house have one floor? Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
We're in an RV.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And a lot of people will ask, well, are you in a rehab facility?
Yeah, or, where are you staying? Are you staying with someone? Are you in a hotel? No,
but you know,
we're
the
staying
RV
in an
is
RV.
It's perfect.
It's
it really
our home.
Is.
It's comfy. It's just perfect.
It's small space.
Yeah.
Bathrooms are close.
We have everything we need.
Everything is within reach.
Yes.
So we also have some really nice electric reclining seats.
Oh, they're so nice. He slept on that for 8 nights.
8 nights I did that.
Oh, it was so nice all those nights to have the bed to myself.
See?
I loved that.
I knew it. Well, the important thing is not to turn over on your stomach or your sides. And the recliner was absolutely perfect for
I
that.
I was so bummed when you said, you know what, I think I'm going to try the bed now.
Yeah, right.
But that's all right.
It's easy to get okay, out of that recliner, too, because it electrically just kind of lifts you up.
But so. Now you're at a point where you can pretty much get up.
You're right. And, you know, after about 2.5 weeks post-op, it's amazing the recovery you make.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing a lot of walking. Mm-hmm. And walking is one of the best things you can do when you have something like this. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, one of the advantages of being here in Northeast Ohio is the Cuyahoga Valley National Park. It's small, but it was the 9th most visited national park in 2022, and ahead of Glacier.
Wow. By the way, let me just say something. We have a special guest who's going to talk about the amazing hike she did, how to prepare, be safe, and a lot more great advice coming up. So stay tuned.
Yeah, that's going to be kind of the subject of this podcast.
Yes.
But Cuyahoga Valley National Park, no entrance fees, no gates. You just drive in. So anyway, the other day I did a half mile of walking, which is just what the doctor ordered.
Speaking of national parks, this year has been a rather rough one.
Oh, yeah.
7 people have died in the parks due to heat exhaustion.
There's also been a lot of bad encounters with wildlife, including getting gored.
Oh, but there was a 48-year-old woman who was just recently killed. She was out running. Well, she was running or hiking. I think she was running on a trail.
Yeah, she's a trail runner.
Just 8 miles west of Yellowstone, and it looks like a bear got her.
Yeah.
Oh, so sad.
A lot of these accidents could have been prevented if people would have made better decisions. Mm. Now, listen to this. You talk about stupidity? Just recently, a shirtless guy was harassing a black bear in Yellowstone. Now, that makes no sense.
What's wrong with these people?
And the national parks now have increased the penalties, including jail, for interfering with wildlife. That's how bad it has become.
Oh, my gosh. It's ridiculous.
Well, let's get back to the deaths, because many this year have died due to the heat and not being prepared.
Oh, yeah. A few weeks ago, a 71-year-old guy collapsed and died in Death Valley National Park in California. The temperatures were 121.
That's crazy.
I know. And it doesn't end there. A 14-year-old boy died at the end of June after hiking Big Bend National Park in Texas. The temperatures reached like 110 degrees.
That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Now, our personal rule is not to hike beyond the low 80s. And at that point, it's iffy. Most of the time, we hike early in the morning when it is cool.
Yeah, and many people will say, oh, it's a dry heat.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. It's a dry heat. I'm sorry, but it can still kill you.
Oh, yeah. At the Grand Canyon, there was a woman who attempted to hike to the Colorado River and back within a day.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, she was 36, and she was on the Bright Angel Trail.
Oh, that's the same trail we were on.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, she didn't make it.
No.
Oh, my gosh. And then there was another one. Just here in July, there was a 57-year-old woman who was hiking. She was on an 8-mile hike, and it was triple digits in the Grand Canyon.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
How do you make decisions like that?
Oh, it's sad, you know?
Well, we got somebody who we're going to talk to. Somebody who actually took that hike.
Oh, yeah.
All the way down to the Colorado River, but she spent the night and then hiked back the next day.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you hear this.
It's our daughter, Mackenzie Kinsbach.
Yeah.
She is a well-seasoned outdoors person. She's been trained in all sorts of different aspects of it, and she loves the outdoors, and she has some great information for you. Mackenzie, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, you're a veteran backpacker, and you hiked in the Grand Canyon, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It was actually my very first backpacking trip.
Wow.
And when was that? How old were you at the time?
I think I was 20. That was 2016.
What month did you hike that?
April. That was in April of 2016.
Okay.
This is an intense hike that you took. You went all the way down to the Colorado River and then back up, correct?
Yep, did it from the South Rim.
How many miles did you cover?
So it was 7 miles down via the South Kaibab Trail, and then we did 9.5 miles up on the Bright Angel Trail.
Oh, that's the way you went. First of all, let's talk about going down. How did that feel? How many miles did you say that was to get from the top down to, well, Phantom Ranch, right?
Yeah, so we stayed at the Bright Angel Campground, which is near Phantom Ranch. It's
okay.
Like half mile away. It was 7 miles down on the South Kaibab Trail.
As you descended into the Grand Canyon, what was the temperature when you started, and what was the temperature when you got to the bottom? Did you record that? Did you know that?
You know, I didn't record it specifically, but I do remember it being like a pretty comfortable, breezy temperature up at the top that time of year. I think it was in, you know, the 60s, kind of like shorts and sweatshirt weather. It was nice, and it was really clear weather. But once we got down at the bottom, it was hot, like 80s.
Wow.
Close to 90. Just absolutely sweltering. And it's amazing. You're going down from the south rim of the Grand Canyon down to the Colorado River is more than a mile in elevation difference.
Wow. That's a lot. What kind of supplies and equipment did you have to take with you?
A lot of water.
A lot.
I think I had probably 3 liters of water with me. It's important to keep drinking water when you're going down, and you're not, you know, exerting yourself as much when you're going down, but it is hot and you are moving. So we did actually come across a woman who was super dehydrated, called the rangers. She needed help to get back into a healthy spot. And that was tough to see because, you know, you kind of expect like, oh, you're going downhill. Like it's not too bad, but it is. It's rocky. There's a lot of steps. It's steep at some parts. So it's tough on the joints and you sweat. You really do feel it because I had probably 35 pounds on my pack.
Wow.
And that's pretty heavy.
Wow, that's really heavy.
I would say so, yeah.
So did you start, like, first thing in the morning?
Yeah, we started pretty early. I think if I were to do it again, I would have started even earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Try to avoid some of that heat in the bottom. But I think we started maybe around 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. And there was four of us, and we had two tents between us. And, you know, of course, we had our food for the night, which we brought freeze-dried meals. We brought some clementines, some like granola bar snacks, as well as enough clothes and water and and things like that to get through one night. We only stayed one night down there.
How long would you say it took you to get down?
I think we got down in the early afternoon. I think we ended up getting down there around like the hottest part of the day.
Wow.
So obviously you've seen a lot. You've seen people dehydrated. What do you think hikers' biggest mistakes are?
The biggest one that I continue to hear of is just not bringing enough water. And I've done it myself as well. And it feels pretty bad. That's not a good mistake to make. These days, that's like the biggest thing to pay attention to. And I have a water filter. So I typically bring between 2 and 3 liters of water with me on a hike, as long as I know that I can get water wherever I'm camping or somewhere along the way and then filter it. I have a lightweight filter that it filters out little bacteria and dirt and stuff so that it's drinkable.
Is there a cutoff temperature where you just will not hike?
Yeah, I know I'm not going to be happy if it's going to be above like 80, 85 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're hearing about people who are hiking in, you know, 100, 120 degree temperatures. It's not very wise.
No, and that's when you start getting into that heat exhaustion zone. It's important to keep your skin covered, and you can put on sunscreen and continue to put on sunscreen, but when it's too hot, you're going to keep sweating and you're going to kind of sweat it off. So it's nice to have, I have like a long sleeve button-up shirt that I'll put over a tank top that I hike in, and that keeps me protected from the sun. I have like a full brim hat that protects my face and my ears and the back of my neck, and I typically wear pants as well, unless it's pretty warm, and then I'll wear shorts. But if it's hot and there's bugs, then, you know, your legs get bitten up, and maybe if the trail is a little rough, you get your legs scratched up. So I find I'm a little bit picky, and I really like to hike when it's not too hot.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So you get down there, you set up your two tents. How did you guys sleep? I mean, did you sleep pretty good or was it too warm? How'd you do there?
I slept great. Mm-hmm. And at night, I just remember it being perfect. That was one of the best campgrounds that I have ever stayed at. The campground actually had running water and plumbing, so there were toilets and sinks, which was a pretty big luxury after hiking so far. But Phantom Ranch down there is a like full-time year-round outpost. So there's rangers who actually live down there for like a year at a time. So it's like a pretty well-developed place within the national park. Mm-hmm. The campgrounds themselves were pristine. They're right next to the Bright Angel Creek. So you had the like babbling brook sound at night. We had a clear view of the stars. Obviously the canyon walls obstructed a lot of the view, but it was pretty cool to see the stars through the top of the canyon. And the temperature was warm but comfortable. I had a pretty lightweight sleeping bag. Yeah, I slept pretty well. But I typically sleep really well outside.
Oh my gosh.
And then the next day you had to return back up that canyon. How did that go?
That was really hard, and I definitely at the time wished that I was in a little bit of better shape.
You guys did it all in one day, right?
Yeah, we did the hike up in one day. So we took the Bright Angel Trail back up the canyon, which is different from the trail that we hiked down, and this one was 9.5 miles back up to the top.
Yeah, because that one's longer, isn't it? Isn't that one longer than the one you took down?
Yep, it was 7 miles down.
Wow.
And luckily there was a place to stop for water about halfway up.
So that helped.
Maybe a little toward the top.
Yeah, you knew you were going to be able to get water if you needed
it. So you didn't have to carry as much water. I would imagine that helps because going up is tougher than going down.
You had your 35-pound backpack on.
Well, we did carry, you know, we carried all the water that we could going up, But the thing is, you're exerting yourself more, still hot, and so you're drinking a lot more water. So it was nice to be able to refill and replenish. You got to drink a lot of water to stay hydrated. And luckily for us that day, we started really early in the morning, I think closer to 7 or 8 o'clock, but it was earlier than we had started the day before, and some clouds rolled in the afternoon. So by the time we were getting up towards the top, it wasn't too hot, and it was, I remember it being a little bit cloudy, and I was very grateful for that.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
It was pretty challenging. That pack felt really heavy towards the top.
Oh my gosh.
Well, to wrap up, what kind of advice would you give a backpacker or somebody who's going to hike in the parks?
Talk to the rangers first. The rangers are incredibly knowledgeable. They know what's going on in terms of, you know, if there's rivers that have washed out, trails or bridges, if you should expect bugs, how much water to bring. The rangers are your most valuable asset. Make sure also that you bring enough water, that you know what you're getting into. It's really important to know how far you're going, where you're going. If there's going to be bears and other wildlife, it's really important to keep your food safe from them. So when I'm hiking in California, in Washington, which is mainly where I've been hiking the last few years, we always carry a bear canister, and we put all of our scented items in that bear canister when we are away from camp. That way, the bears, the squirrels, the chipmunks, the mice, they don't, like, dig into your packs. They'll destroy your stuff to get at your food, even your sunscreen. Some sunscreens, especially, you know, they're scented kind of, you know, in a nice way, like food, even chapstick or bug spray. It's all these scented items need to be kept away from animals to keep them safe and to keep you safe.
Great advice.
Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Mackenzie.
Thank you so much.
And you just completed a big hike. Where did you go this past weekend?
This week we went to Gothic Basin near Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 4.5 miles each way and just really stunning. It was a pretty accessible place. It was only about 2 hours from where we're currently living, and there were lots of people around, lots of people just out having a great time. It was beautiful weather and just stunning views everywhere.
Aww,
well, we're
great.
Looking forward to coming up there and visiting you very soon.
Yes, one of these days we'll make our way out that way. Can't wait.
Looking forward to showing you around here.
Have a good rest of the day.
Yep.
Thanks, you too.
Well, there she is, our daughter, Mackenzie Kinsbach.
Oh, my gosh. What an accomplishment, right?
Yes.
Can you imagine that, how that would feel afterwards?
I couldn't do that now.
No, no way. I don't think I could do that when I was 20.
No.
But
she's an expert.
She really is. She's hiked all over the place and backpacked.
Yep.
And
been all over the world, too.
Oh, yes.
So,
oh, yes.
And that's what you got to do. I wish I would have done that when I was young.
Oh, me too.
I know.
What great experiences to have behind you.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of her, as well as you are, I'm sure.
That is it for this week. We're going to be back next week with another episode. Until then, we want you to stay safe and perhaps do what we do. We have a very good zoom lens for wildlife.
Yeah, we don't take chances.
No. Take our shirt off and go see this bear.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
It's the Rockin' the RV Life Podcast with Jeff and Patty. Hear more of their adventures on the road with our next episode. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and tell your friends.